I do have kind of a mantra. It is a Hawaiian kind of theology or practice of spirituality, Ho'oponopono. The phrase is, the cleaning phrase is, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. But it just interrupts whatever part of my language you might be going through or thinking about or experiencing in your day, whatever the negativity or mm-hmm. the person cut you off on the freeway, or they got your coffee order wrong, or your kids are being annoying. It interrupts all of that with this aligning kind of thought process.
Get ready for brilliant people, brilliant ideas, and a regular good time. This is Brilliant Thoughts with Success People editor Tristan Almada, the show that thinks about how personalities, relationships, and communication shape business success. And now here he is, Tristan Almada.
This was a really fun and great conversation. It gets a little bit philosophical towards the end, but you need to stick with this one. Scott Evans, you may have heard his name. He was co-anchor at Access Hollywood, and he's turned that success into hosting a brand new job. You may know the name America's Big Deal. It's a new show on USA Network. Check that one out. Very, very different and very fun. Now, he has a whole deal with NBC Universal now, so you're going to be seeing him a lot, and you might have already seen him on Oprah as well. This guy is growing. Pay attention. It's a fun one. Welcome back to another episode of Brilliant Thoughts. I'm your host, Tristan. It's a success podcast. And today I have Scott Evans, who you may have seen. Well, Scott, welcome to the show, buddy.
It's good to be here, man. I appreciate it.
You've been in World of Dance. You've got Own Tonight on the network for Oprah there. And now you're doing this amazing show, right? America's Big Deal, which is awesome, by the way. I love it. So
thank you, man.
I find that it can be really challenging for someone like you who is in the middle of the entertainment world, right?
Right.
Because you even saw what The Rock said over like the last few days. We're like, hey, you know, he had said something about his situation in the Fast and the Furious. And then he went back and said, hey, you know what? I shouldn't have said that, but I'm going to stand behind it anyway. How do you make sure that you don't fall into that whole negativity and say, well, screw it, I'm going to talk crap about everybody else. How do you stay?
It's very simple. It's very simple. I'm keenly aware that the position that I have and the placement that I have, not just with America's Big Deal, but also Own Tonight on Oprah Winfrey's network, but also Access Hollywood and World of Dance on NBC. I'm keenly aware that like I've been placed in these situations and can be an agent for positivity, right? Can mm-hmm. be an agent for encouragement. And so the choice just simply is do this or don't do this. And I just decide that like, I'm not going to be the guy who is negative. And more empoweringly, I guess, instead of being the guy that's not negative, I'm going to be the guy who is positive. I'm going to be the guy who is encouraging, who regardless of what the situation or circumstances might be, decides that it's going to be a good day anyway. Not to say that everything is going to go right or everything is going to go your way, but that today is going to be a good day and that I am going to contribute my best effort to ensuring that, right? Not just for myself, but for the people that are around me. And when you talk about like, how do you not fall into the negativity, you know, think about this last year that we've all lived in, you know, not just a COVID experience, but also the height of the Black Lives Matter movement, right? And as a young Black person on TV, it was easy to fall into a negative headspace, a angry even headspace. I went to the protests in Los Angeles. I watched as people were, I was actually shot, tear gas. I was actually shot with a rubber bullet at that Saturday protest in Hollywood. I remember what it was like to be angry and to, mm-hmm. to feel like there were people who were unwilling to release their control before they were willing to, so that we could be have a better conversation about the state of our country and the citizens that live in it, right? Mm-hmm. So I say that to say, like, it's easy to be like angry. It's easy to be bitter. It's easy to be negative, right? But I find for me, it is more constructive to get to work, right? So instead of sitting in that, it's like, it's time to do something. You know what I mean? And sitting on Instagram and Twitter ain't enough. So, that's you true, know, man. I try to manage in my own circle and my own ways and within my own reach, you know, okay. How do you balance those messages? And so, you know, ABD was a strike in the balance of that messaging. You know, we're highlighting small business, entrepreneurs who have survived through some of the hardest obstacles and circumstances and situations for to come out on the other side of the situation with the potential of accessing more of the American dream made possible by viewers, you know, America watching. Like, how cool is that? You know what I mean?
That's very true. In your circle of people, Where do you think you get this attitude that you have? Where, like, you know what? I'm not going to gravitate to the negative. I'm going to find the opportunity in whatever I'm being challenged and go that mm-hmm. route instead. Who influences you the most to think that way? Either now or in the past.
Who was my influence? I think it's that to me is an easy question, but it's a multifaceted question, right? So my mom had me when she was 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And my father was significantly older than her. And my grandmother, as I was being born, as I was being like growing in my mother's belly, my grandmother, my mother's mother, was dying of breast cancer. And I remember my mom telling me this story of like how instant our connection was, my grandmother, my mm-hmm. connection with my grandmother, how instant that was and how real and evident it was. And her prayers over my life, you know, as a baby, as she was heading out of this world. And it makes me emotional every time I talk about it, man. Like every single time. Because I'm keenly aware that the things that I'm experiencing in my life, the highs, mm-hmm. the extreme heights, is a result of the energy and life force she was pouring into me, right? I do really believe that she gave me all that she had left, you know what I mean? As she left this earth in her like body. I do feel like there are winks from her every once in a while that there are little moments like I'm aware that like, that's, Nana, that's you.
That's, I love that, man.
That is definitely you. And so it's easy for me to choose this or to have decided this and renew that decision every day. Because it's in a way it's honoring her, right? Every day it's a matter of also like saying I love you back to this woman who loved me so hard in her last days that it's almost easy. Like nothing else really will everything else kind of pales in comparison to honoring this promise, honoring this energy, and allowing that energy to then flow, you know, throughout. Like I'm, you know, I always say people are like, oh, there have been instances where people have said, oh, you're famous. And it's like, nah, I'm not. I'm celebrity adjacent. But what I do practice on a regular basis, and I said this when we first started, is that I do want to be a reflection of the light and the joy that has been shown to me. You know what I mean? So it's about amplifying the situation that you and I are in right now. Mm-hmm. It's about staying true to the energy that you and I have right now and blasting that to as many people as possible, as often as possible. So it's not hard. It ain't hard.
Well, it's the narrative you choose to put out there too, right? And that's what you're living. So tell me, with the people that you get to interview,
mm-hmm.
when you talk to them, I'm assuming you do learn a lot of things from
either
the way they live their life, or you're inspired and motivated by them.
Mm-hmm.
What comes to mind when I ask you who from the people you've interviewed have really made you think deeper about who you want to be and the legacy you want to leave behind?
It's so funny because one of the first people that comes to mind was such a practical piece of advice that I was so not expecting. Oprah Winfrey invited me to her home some time ago for this brunch. And during the brunch, I showed her, she had just gone on the Ellen DeGeneres show and had talked about walking into the bank with mm-hmm. a check for $1 million because she just wanted to cash $1 million check. She wanted to know what that felt like.
Of course. And to me, Who doesn't?
Tristan, who doesn't? Right? But also, who can?
That's true. Dude, that's a better question.
Who can? Yeah. And so to me, it was like the ultimate kind of motivating. I had heard, like Jim Carrey, I think, had talked about writing himself a $1 million check before he got the mask. And then with his salary from the mask, I think at the time he was almost maybe homeless or living, his living situation was not one that would have suggested that within a year he would be able to cash that check to himself. And then he got the mask and was able to do it. I may have embellished the homeless. I don't know that he was homeless. I just think that he was not in any way close to making $1 million.
Yeah.
And so hearing this story from Ellen, from the Ellen show about Oprah, when I saw her, I had taken myself a check from my own account written for $1 million. And I said to her, I just feel like I need you to believe this with me because what this is about. You know what it's like. You know the desire. You know it's not about the money, but that it's about it is about bringing all of your action into alignment with, like, am I working toward this goal? Are the choices that I'm making on a daily basis contributing to this goal becoming reality or making it more difficult, right? Because that's ultimately what accomplishment is. It's like, are your efforts contributing to making this thing happen, or are they actually making it more difficult for that thing, right, to be on the way to you? And so I was like, Oprah, actually, that's a lie. I said, Miss Winfrey.
That's funny.
I need you to believe this with me. And she got so excited. She was like, okay. I love this, Scott. I love this. This is what you have to do, though. This is what you have to do. And I'm going to tell you this because as a person who has made a few million in my life, and meanwhile, I'm looking at her like, mm-hmm. She says, in order for you to take home $1 million, you have to make $1 million, I believe the number was 325, right? You have to make over $1 million in order to take home $1 million. Okay. So she was like, keep this check, put that in your pocket. But when you get home, rewrite the check for this amount so that when you go to cash it, Uncle Sam gets his share and you get your $1 million. I was like, only a billionaire can give you that kind of advice. Thinking so practically, but also believing.
So true.
Damn it. I never even thought about this part. Also believing it so hard, so wholeheartedly for you that the advice to you was so practical. It was so pragmatic. It wasn't like, oh, well, you got to put this somewhere you're going to see it every day, or, oh, I can't wait for you to accomplish that. But like, no, here's how granular you need to be about this thing. And I already see it for you, but you can refine this goal, this achievement with more specificity so that you can aim at the right target.
Dude.
And there's something about that kind of foresight, that kind of real belief that you're going to accomplish this thing that made me emotional right now, man. Like, it's like, she asked me every time I see her, she would be like, how are y'all doing on that check? You know, you would hear her coming around the corner and she'd be like, Scott!
Dude, it's a connection. Not only does she give you clarity, because clarity creates focus and power and confidence.
Right.
Right. Now you knew exactly. And that connection to Oprah because of that was insane, dude. That's beautiful. How did you get invited to brunch in the first place?
You know, that is a good question. I don't know. I really don't. And there were a ton of people there, right? It was for one of the she was promoting, she was sharing with the world her Wisdom of Sundays book, where it was kind of like a compilation of like the biggest lessons, the key takeaways, the super digestible, but also super life-changing moments and conversation that she had had on her property for Super Soul Sunday. And so she had this gospel brunch. You know what I mean? It was It was the same place that T.D. Jakes put his hand on my shoulder and was like, "You going somewhere, brother? You going somewhere?" And I said, "What you mean?" He said, "I don't know where you're going, but it's somewhere good." you know, several more experiences like that. But it was an affirming experience for me, you know, having worked with her and would, you know, go on to interview her several times, interact with her several times for our show. I was just so happy to be in the place, man. I didn't care how she got the address.
That's good. I love that. Yeah. So tell me about the progression of you. So you go to this meeting, right? Mm-hmm. You tell her, "Hey, look, I've got a check to you. Inspired me." Mm-hmm. Right. What happens after that to you? How do you get to be on a network that she runs, that she created, and do that version of the Tonight Show? Right.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
It was, you know, interesting to get a call from Oprah Winfrey's office saying, "We have put you in front of Oprah and she likes what you do. She has known what you've been doing on Access Hollywood and would like to bring you in for this first of its kind show on the network. Would you be interested?" And I was like, almost offended. "Would you be interested?" Right?
Yeah, that's funny. So
I called Rob Silverstein, who was the EP of Access Hollywood at the time, and I was like, "Man, I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't ask for a lot of stuff. I need to be in L.A." At the time, I was living in New Jersey. I said to him, "I need to be in L.A. for 2 months, and I need to make this happen." He's like, "What's up?" I was like, "Oprah Winfrey." He was like, "Say less." And yeah, we tested. I tested. Ended up co-hosting the show with a very near and dear friend of mine, Stacey Ike, who blew the roof off each episode. She really was the woman at the helm of the show, and I just did my best to try to help again keep the energy of the show high. It was a dream-like experience because it was a live show. We had an audience, and it was the first time anything had happened like that at OWN. And so it's also not lost on me that I keep getting these gigs where it's like, this, we haven't really ever done this before. You know, America's Big Deal is another one of those shows that has never been done before like this. You know, you've got entrepreneurs who are selling their product live, and they have an opportunity to connect with America, and America then gets to decide who they believe is ready for this next level, who they love enough to support so wholeheartedly with their wallet, you know, that to then stand in front of this retail panel for a life-changing deal, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
On this life-changing, hopefully life-changing platform, you know, stage. And so it's never been done before where people are buying live in this competition that then has this mega, mega prize week after week after week after week. It's really cool. It's like a continuation of that, you know, that vibe, that energy. Yeah.
Why do you think that you're getting these opportunities? What about you stands out?
You know, I'm not entirely sure why they keep coming to me. But I know that I value the vote of confidence. I know that I value the understanding that I am capable of not only standing in that space and helping navigate this space for four individuals and really our audience, you know, every week. But that I'm also going to do my best to make sure that people feel special, that people feel like this moment in their life is unlike anything else that's happened before. You know, I don't take it lightly that, you know, it's a I'm a black dude with locks standing on this show, you know, in essence, this like business show, you know what I mean, in front of America. And I'm like, yeah, we belong here. Yes.
That's true.
Sure do.
Let's talk about that feeling that you make people feel. Do you also bring that to those meetings with executives where you're placed in this opportunity? Because it has to go through those people that can say, you know what? I'm going to put my vote of confidence with Scott because I feel something like TD Jakes going, you know what? You're heading somewhere good, buddy. How is it that you can do that in person with executives? What type of conversations are you having? What type of energy, your demeanor? What about that do you think that we can learn as an audience to apply?
Well, I'll tell you this, Tristan. I think it is the biggest compliment to me for people who watch any of my work and then meet me in person that say, you're the exact same as you are on this show. You are the exact same as you are on World of Dance. You know, it's so funny. It is. You are the exact same as you are on Access Hollywood. I just love it. Like, that is to me, like the it lets me know, it keeps me aligned, right? My personality doesn't change when I'm in a boardroom or when I'm on a live stage or when I'm on the elevator or when I'm in a car or on the train or ordering food or talking to my mom, right? Mm-hmm. Like the goal is to be so cemented in who you are that you don't have to put on an air, to be so sure of what you contribute and know that what is for you and that you couldn't mess it up if it's actually for you, that you can go in this room and you can be 100% your authentic self. And that if it's the thing that is supposed to be for you, if it's the thing that is actually good for you, it will be, right? And to be empowered by that, I think, you know, for a little bit, I tried to do something else. I tried to be what I thought someone else wanted me to be.
Tell me about that, because I'm assuming you did that because you felt that you could grow in Hollywood more because of
it. Well, yeah, I felt like it was it's what you do, right? You give them what they always pick. And so you just give them your version of Ryan Seacrest, right? I give them, people called me because I worked on a television show in high school in Indianapolis and was working all over the city of Indianapolis as an entertainment reporter and like the face of this network. The people were calling me the Black Seacrest, and I dug it. Like, it was like, and even now, like, I'm not offended by that, but like, also we're about creating our own space, our own lane. And, you know, instead of being the first Black Seacrest or the next Black Seacrest, the next Ryan Seacrest, how about I be the first Scott Evans, right? The only Scott Evans. And so, but I remember going into auditions and going into chemistry reads and doing the thing I thought Ryan Seacrest would do, you know, changing my voice to mimic the way that he introed American Idol. Right. I'll never forget being on a set for it was a pilot for Chelsea Handler's production company. They wanted to do kind of like a spinoff show when she was leaving Chelsea Lately. They wanted to do a spinoff show with Ross. And they brought me in to camera test and to chemistry read and all that stuff. And I did this like, and this is American Idol voice thing that is so not me, right? And I was like, I remember doing it that way. And I was like, actually, can I do it one more time? And I'll just do it the way I would do it.
Yeah.
And then I did it the way I would do it. And they were like, people were laughing. They were like, "That you should definitely do the you thing. Like, we love the you thing. Like, don't get us wrong. Like, we get why you did that. But like, definitely do. We brought you in because we want you." And I've had experiences that affirm that, you know, even lately. You know, I remember when I was stepping on the stage for America's Big Deal, I was like, okay, it's big. So I got to give them like game show competition Scott. And so it was like, welcome to America's Big Deal. I'm Scott Evans, your host. And tonight is going to be a night like no other. I remember going on stage and doing that. And being like, and like, as I was doing it, I was like, this is the dumbest choice.
Yeah, that's funny.
This is the dumbest choice. But also, like, it's another level. It's another angle. Like, try it. Let's see. And then again, I would say, let me try one more time and just, let me just do what I would do.
Yeah.
And of course, that's the take they took.
Of course, man.
Yeah.
How hard is it to get opportunities in the entertainment world? I know a lot of people wonder because you've been doing it from such a young age, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So how difficult is it to get opportunities and then continue in the world you're in?
You know, that's a hard question to answer. How difficult is it to get gigs? How difficult is it to get opportunity? You know, I believe that everything is relationship, that everything is relational, right? And what is difficult to me may not be difficult to someone else. What is difficult to someone else may not be difficult to me. What I will say is that I have made it a point to be the hardest working person in the room.
What does that look like for you? What do you mean by hardest working?
Like, I'm willing to come in early. I'm willing to stay late. I don't complain. And that's not to say that I'm a pushover or will allow people to take advantage of me in some sort of way. But one of the things that my sister said to me, my sister Stacey Pates, who is like really responsible for, I think, exposing me to this industry and to this world of entertainment and production. In the third grade, I made the decision that this is what I wanted to do. But she said to me very early on, be easy to work with. And at first I thought that meant like, do whatever anybody asks you, whenever they ask you to do it, however they ask you to do it. And what I would come to learn is that it meant being the one that no one had to worry about, right? So you show up, you're on time. People know where you are. People know that you're ready. You show up ready to work. You've done your research. You've practiced. You are prepared. Right. And because you are prepared and you're practiced and no one has to worry about you, you can also ask for what you need. You can also make sure that what you need is available to you.
It's true.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, opportunities have found me because, you know, people know that like they can count on me. And that I'm going to, again, do my very best in every circumstance or scenario to lift the situation, not to bring it down.
Dude, I would imagine, and like any other business, approaching it with the attitude that you just described will open up a lot more opportunities. As people will remember you and be like, you know what? It was that really nice guy. It's just no problems, easygoing, great energy, right? Yeah. I think that goes a long way, Scott. I love that. All right. Question about interviews. You get to interview some of the most awesome people out there.
Yeah.
Besides Oprah.
And not so awesome.
But we don't want to talk about the not so awesome ones.
But fortunately, I get to interview people when they're at their best. You know what I mean? When they're experiencing some sort of like exciting thing in their life, right? There's moment, there's a premiere or something, a project they're working on they're really excited about. So I'm aware that I get to experience people when they are usually at their best.
So with that, besides Oprah, which one would you say, one or two, have been your favorite interviews?
You know, it's like picking a kid. It's super easy. I I would say, you know, the one that surprised me the most was Sandra Bullock. Pretty early in my career, pretty early in my time with Access Hollywood, I got a chance to sit down with her, and I was told no personal questions. I was told keep it to the movie. You've got 7 minutes, or maybe it was even maybe 5 or 6 minutes.
Oh wow!
And we had never met before, okay. And so it was my first kind of interaction with her. Before I knew it, we were talking about her coloring her son's Legos brown because she had adopted this young black boy and wanted to make sure that his toys reflected his own experience, that he could see himself, that he didn't feel other from even the things that he was playing with. And I so, because I think the question to her was, you know, I think she was starring in a film with Anthony Mackie. And I thought, how cool is it that your co-star is an action figure for the Avengers, right? This black dude is an action figure that people can go buy, in particular that kids can play with and not feel like when they see a black person in person that that's some strange, foreign, potentially thing. And she talked about picking up, you know, a marker to make sure that her son could see in his own toys. And we hugged like for real. Like she got emotional, I got emotional. And every time I've seen her after that, like if it's a carpet, she's not stopping to talk to anybody. She will make a point to come and say hello. And it was an experience I was not necessarily expecting. She is one of the kindest people, but I wasn't expecting it to be. I think we talked for like 15 minutes. You know what I mean?
Dude.
Yeah, it was really cool.
How do you connect with people at that level? Because what I'm talking to you right now, you exude a lot of authenticity and sincerity. And that, mm-hmm. I think, that's my answer to my own question about you, okay? So I think that allows people to feel comfortable with you. But what do you think it is, man?
I think I have seen a lot. And I wear and have experienced a lot in my life, right? The, you know, growing up with a mom that was a single parent for the majority of my life, having to grow up kind of quickly in a lot of ways, having moved a lot, lived all over this country, it traveled a lot. And I wear all of those experiences on my sleeve. Like I'm not you, what you see from me is what you get. I'm not this kind of like duck that keeps it cool. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. under the water is like freaking out. Like if I'm freaking out, we freaking out. Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's good.
Like I'm freaking out, we freaking out. But I think that the again, it kind of goes back to that, like you said, and you know, I show up to a moment, my whole self. And as present as I possibly can. I'm not the guy who with friends is staring at their phone, which for some other friends is frustrating because, you know, it can be difficult to reach me sometimes because I want to be in the moment. I want to be dialed in, and I want to make sure that like our experience is as rich as an experience as we can have. And you can't do that if you are dedicating while we're in this experience energy to everybody else at the same time. And so I think makes that people sense. Feel the interruption of that when in interviews with me. But I also am the kind of person that interrupts energy in the room. Like I come in hot.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows you're in.
Yeah. Like you know what I mean? It's like a, hey, how's everybody doing? You know what I mean? And it's about, you know, shifting the space in a way that is also conducive to an intimate conversation, you know? And I know that sometimes it's not the easiest thing when someone is there to sell a coffee machine.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about some life choices. You know, I want to talk about some real stuff. It can be jarring sometimes, but I think now more than ever, people want to have those conversations. And I think more than ever, people want to see and hear those conversations. So
that's true, man. That's very true. I love your response. So I would assume.
And that also, I know that I can talk a lot. So if at any point you're like, I got it,
No, that's good.
Let me know.
Dude, we're good. We're good.
Okay, sweet.
This is you answering all these questions. So that's what it's about right now.
I'll take it.
I think that, well, I would assume, Scott, that people that work with you at different levels, you hear them say things like, wow, we work so well together. That, you know, you and I have this great chemistry. But if they were to work with other people, you'd find that the chemistry isn't there. Is that true?
You know, I don't know. I don't know that I am for other people, the like bar that they measure and ease to work with. But again, it is a focus of mine. It is a point of mine in practice and in doing to be easy to work with and to be a joy to work with. Like, we spend in our industry large amounts of time together. And I don't want to be the reason why somebody doesn't want to come to work or why their experience at work is less than enjoyable, right? Certainly don't want to be the cloud over anybody's experience, but also want to be the, like, the part that, like, if you are low, if you are down, if you did come in here and it wasn't the greatest day, that, like, I'm also contributing to it being maybe a little bit better. So I think people respond to that because they also know that for me, that's a sincere effort. And that goes for the person I'm co-hosting the show. So, like, Joy Mangano, who created America's Big Deal, that is my effort with her, as well as it is my effort with Nadidra, who's my PA for the show, right? Like, I want to make everybody's experience, my hope, my desire is that everybody's experience is a little bit better, you know, for the sake of working with me. Certainly, though, not worse. So, you know, that is the goal. So when people acknowledge that, when people feel that, it's only an affirmation or confirmation that's, you know, we're job well done.
Interesting. Do you have a set of affirmations that you do? Morning routine, evening routine, anything like that to get into state?
I meditate every day. It was a game changer for me. And I do have kind of a mantra. It is a Hawaiian kind of, I believe it is a Hawaiian practice, or it was centered in kind of a Hawaiian theology or practice of spirituality, Ho'oponopono. And the idea is that you are, the phrase is kind of cleaning your mental space, that you are cleaning your thought, because the things you think become real, the things you think about materialize. And so you keep them as open and as pure and as aligned as possible. And so I'm constantly saying, so it's even on my phone, you can see of the recording is on it, but the phrase is, the cleaning phrase is, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. Some people switch the please forgive me and the thank you, or the I love you, I'm sorry, thank you, please forgive me. Or some people, you know, will customize it for themselves. I go with, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you.
What's the phrase? It's
Ho'oponopono. Ho'oponopono is the phrase in Hawaiian, I guess, a native language. But it just interrupts whatever part of my language you might be going through or thinking about or experiencing in your day, whatever the negativity or the person cut you off on the freeway, or they got your coffee order wrong, or your mom called you for the 14th time to talk about something you've already said you don't want to talk about, or your partner is being neglectful or forgot about a major accomplishment, or your kids are being annoying. It interrupts all of that with this aligning kind of thought process of, I love you. I love you. The person that I'm talking to, the person, this human that I'm interacting with, that I know or don't know, I love you because you are human, because we are here in this experience together. And I really don't have any reason necessarily to hate you. So I'm going to choose to love you. I love you. I'm sorry if I have contributed in the ways that I have contributed to, because responsibility is key. If kind of skirts you around responsibility. But I am sorry for my contributions to whatever has caused us this friction or this sticky point. Please forgive me, because it's one thing to say I'm sorry, you know, but it's another thing to say, I want your forgiveness. I want to change now our interaction. And then gratitude, because gratitude, thank you, I think, cuts through all of the noise. Anything that I love you can't cut through. I think I love you, or I'm sorry, anything that I love you can't cut through. Thank you certainly does. And so this is a phrase that I'm pretty consistently chanting to myself when in elevators or before a show or before an interview or in moments I feel like I'm nervous or apprehensive. This is something that I kind of come back to, because it is clearing all of that negative self-talk. It interrupts all of that. You don't belong here. Why did you think that this show would be something that was successful? You know, they only picked you because they needed a Black person. You know that this is, it's on cable. Who's going to see it? Who's going to watch it? Who's going to support you? If you fail live, you'll confirm everything people always said about you, right? All of this like trash talk you give yourself, it interrupts all of that. And presents the things that you really do believe and that you really do know, and empowers you to step forward in a way.
Dude, that's, where did you first hear that, or where were you first introduced to that and then accepted it?
Yeah, so I was actually introduced to Ho'oponopono by a dear friend. I was actually introduced to it by a friend of mine in New York, and then it confirmed in friendships and connections in Los Angeles. And so it was something that was introduced to me years ago, and I was like, "That sounds crazy." Just walking around chanting, "I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you." People gonna think I'm crazy.
Yeah, maybe, but that's okay. But you fit right into LA.
You know, and if people think you're crazy because you're saying, I love you, I love you, please forgive me, and thank you, and I'm sorry, if that is what people think is crazy, then be crazy. Be crazy, because it's better to be that than, you know, some of the other things.
The opposite.
And so even the way that it came back to me in my life was so kind of affirming, that it was like, oh, so this is, I wasn't ready when I heard it the first time. And now here we go, let's do this. And it is a game changer. I highly recommend anyone who is curious to look up Ho'oponopono, in particular, the practices of cleaning, you know, your thought processes. And the other really cool thing about it, Tristan, is that like the effort, the idea of behind this cleaning, right, is that when you do it, you raise, in essence, the frequency of everyone, of all humans, of all experience, right, of all living things. And that as more and more people are doing this thing, we are getting better and better. And it can be difficult to believe that, or to think that, or to have read that, and then see what feels like sometimes in the news, our world getting worse and worse and worse. But you also have to know that like what you see in those instances aren't necessarily the only truths. And that, again, what you can control is yourself. And that if you are contributing to this place being better, then this place is getting better.
Dude, that's almost stoic in the same way. It's so cool. I
appreciate that, man. Yeah, it's game changer. I recommend it.
I just wrote it all out as you were talking, and I highlighted it. I'm like, dude, that's legit right there. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, no problem.
I love that. All right, question about the show, because the show is doing great. I love it. I did some research. I already went to see. I love your energy, dude. It is really good. It's a fun show. Very fun different. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the preparation involved, because that looks like you're probably working all day to do this.
The preparation. It's like the preparation of being shot out of a cannon. however much you can prepare for that is the same situation in the show. It's funny because, you know, I was introduced to Joy Mangano, the woman behind the show, years ago as I interviewed her for Joy, the movie about her life, the mm-hmm. movie that Jennifer Lawrence would win a Golden Globe for and be nominated for an Oscar, right? Playing Joy Mangano. Yep. And I remember during that interview, like just having the best time with her, like just the best kind of back and forth. And so when I saw her again for the meeting about the show, I reminded her of like just how crazy, how interesting, how cool it is to be all these years later now working together in this capacity. And then we played the interview on our show. And the vibe is exactly the same. Like we never skipped a beat, right?
That's cool.
But it's a crazy, crazy ride. It's an intense ride, you know, to be taking these four entrepreneurs every week and giving them access to sell their product, to lift their dream to new heights in ways they never have been able to before, maybe never would otherwise, is a really cool thing. And so, you know, to be able to stand on that stage and help them navigate that space, to make them feel comfortable in that space and to empower them to give it everything they've got in that space has been a blessing to me. So the best way
I love the take on it, by the way. Just mm-hmm. sorry to interrupt you. I love it, dude.
It's so much fun. And we've never seen anything like that on TV. Like, of course, you've seen some of the other entrepreneur shows and shows that like want a stake in the company. They want to invest, but they want, you know, a certain percentage of their company. And you may see those products come to market. You may never see those products come to market. This is a show where immediately if you love it, you can buy it. And you don't have to just buy one. You could buy all of them. You could buy one. You could buy multiple of one. But that your purchase directly affects the outcome of the show. Like it's happening in real time.
Which one of the latest ones have you been like, oh, man, I need to go buy that right now?
And you're okay,
like,
so I'll tell you. It's so funny. It was easy. So Minky Blue, the backpack. From episode one, okay. I bought, my mom bought, like we were like on, it, you know, living, especially spending any time in New York, you know how important a bag is and like the making it easy to find things in the bag. And this this black woman was in the mind behind this creation, right? This who re-engineered the backpack. Are you kidding me? So that was it. That was a no-brainer. Also, the spider grip. On that episode also was really cool. It was a grip for your phone. It was like the man, David brought out wrestlers who wrestled in a ring while holding their phone and didn't drop it. I was like, if that don't sell a phone case, I don't know what would.
Right? That's like, so true, man. Honestly,
I don't know what would. And then the Mr. Big from the first episode, the a long barrel curling iron. While I don't curl my hair, I just thought her sales pitch was fantastic. You know what I mean? The fact that she said, because women, one of the things that she, the way that she ended her pitch was like, women, we know something men don't. Size does matter. And I was like, dude, I thought, okay, well, that's funny. There you go. There you go. There's that.
That's funny.
Right? And then the dental wipes from the first episode, like all four products, right? The dog wipes to make it easy for you to clean your dog's teeth. When he said, imagine not brushing your teeth every day for a year. like how nasty your mouth would be. That's what your dog is going through. And I was like, dang, let me go ahead and buy these wipes. Let me go ahead and buy these wipes. And so to be on the other side of that first episode and to know while there was only one winner of the show, one person who was able to get America's Big Deal from Macy's this particular episode for Sherrill Mosey, there were all four entrepreneurs sold out. All four. You know what I mean? Dude. They are now a part of this national platform, right? And it took all of their businesses to the next level. And so, yeah, man, I'm excited about that. Like that is a thing that like genuinely I go to work excited.
That's really cool. Well, I was taking a look at the Minky Blue bags now. So
I'm telling you.
I just texted that to my wife. So those are good.
And when one shows up to your house, don't be mad and don't try to take it. Don't try to take it. You get you one. You get you one. Yeah, just get you two.
I love it, man. Well, look, Scott, I love your energy, man, and your kindness, by the way. It comes through the screen, and I appreciate you for being who you are and leading the way that you do in a place that you don't often find the type of people that you are. So thank you for being you, man. That's an amazing example.
I appreciate that, man. It is not lost on me that these experiences, many of these experiences being on the other side of this right interaction, being interviewed this way, how important it is for people to understand what it means to show up and what it means to create a space where someone can be and share as much as they possibly can in hopes to be an encouraging experience to someone else. So I want to say thank you for being the kind of guy and creating the kind of content that encourages people not only to share themselves, but to look at their life in a way that empowers people, right? And that really pushes them to use their own experiences as motivation, not as that self-talk to like discourage themselves. So thank you for creating the space, brother.
Well, bro, same to you, man. Just keep on being you because I love the energy you bring. So thank you.
Well, baby, we out here. We out here. It's winning to be done. I appreciate you, man.
Those are all the brilliant thoughts that we have for you today. If you like what you're hearing, drop us a review or just tell your friends. This has been a Success Podcast. Head to success.com/podcast to hear more just like it.